This week on Come Receive the Light, spiritual growth in the midst of media overload, and our own sense of personal direction.
A priest asked me, why I never followed through with this call of wanting to serve our church on a full-time basis. I answered him, look, I just don't want to become someone I'm not. And I'll never forget this. And he said, who do you think that Christ wants you to become?
Part of what's happening in at least Christendom today is that this need to be entertained in church as well as in our homes, it's consuming us as a society.
As always, some very timely topics on our broadcast. Welcome to another weekly visit we call Come Receive the Light. I'm Mike Trout, and our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. This is an outreach ministry of the Orthodox Christian Network, and you can visit us on our website at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. By the way, thank you for all the wonderful comments about our recent broadcasts, especially the Lenten series with Bishop Callistos Ware. We love your feedback. You can visit the website at myocn.net and just click on the contact link on the homepage to leave your comment. That's myocn.net. And if you'd like to listen to any of the past broadcasts, our archives are right there on the website. Just click on the listen link on the homepage. Well, our first guest today talking with Father Chris is Father Michael Soriel of the St. Anianus Coptic Orthodox Church in Princeton, New Jersey. He wrote a sermon recently entitled Boredom as a Hindrance to Spiritual Growth, and it caught our attention.
Let me ask you the question, what inspired you to write this sermon?
My sermons usually come out of an observed need. So usually what I find is that there's a typical trend that I start hearing from folks, and one of the things that I was hearing at the time that I had prepared that sermon was just a lot of people speaking about their own boredom in life, and their own boredom in their relationship with God. And from my own perspective, I've never seen the dichotomy of we've got our spiritual life and we've got our practical life. So boredom in one area of life tends to spill over into other areas of life.
Well, your parishioners are different from mine because they were bored with my speeches, not bored with life and bored with my sermons. So it's different for you. Why do you think it's such a problem today? Why is boredom that problem?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest challenges that we tend to think is that this is only a kind of a new phenom that's happening. This is something I think if we look back in the Old Testament in Exodus, which I had referenced in that sermon, in Exodus 32, you found that when Moses, he went up on the mountain, he was gone for 40 days, and the people of Israel, if you will, they got bored, and they said, they turned to Aaron, and they say, give us a new God. So they got bored at the time, and I think part of our challenge is we are so used to being entertained today that if life or the things around us aren't entertaining us, we tend to kind of shut down a little bit and want to turn to the next thing. So much so at the time that I had delivered that sermon, there was a really interesting article out there suggesting that 31% of people were worried that they would be bored in heaven.
Well, I mean, that's something. I never heard of that one before. Yeah. Well, it's also the case, I think, that sinful behavior can be sparked by boredom. We talk about the sacred versus the spectacular. We like to live in the spectacular and not necessarily the sacred. It's been said that we're the most entertained and the least educated generation. Married couples get bored with their daily lives. They start online flirtations that end up in affairs. People are bored at night and they find themselves drinking. Kids are bored and they end up playing increasingly violent or even sexual video games. What are your thoughts on some of those things, Father?
I think one of the most challenging things that we face today as a society is this desire and this need to be entertained in every area of our lives, the areas that you just mentioned, as well as even in our religious lives. People come to church these days expecting to be entertained. They want concerts, they want comedy shows, they want entertainment, they want to feel good, if you will. And I think it has a lot to do, not only in church, but spilling over into every area of our lives. I think the Western society, which is a society that has afforded the world so much, but it's also a society in which we believe we and have been really raised to think and to expect that anything that we want to have, we can and should have it. Mm-hmm. And if something makes you feel good, then you should have it. There's a new saying today amongst the young folks. They say YOLO, you know, you only live once. So you've got to make sure that you give yourself whatever makes you feel good. On the other side, one of the things that I think in the faith world is that faith has become in some ways very calculated. People, you know, they desire adventure. They desire, you know, a lot of people are thrill seekers. And so when they turn to their faith and they find everything is really calculated, even in their faith, I think this kind of creates a sense of mundaneness and monotony within their lives. And I mean, we look back to the monastic tradition and we find great stories of great, you know, spiritual fathers and mothers who went out to the wilderness and they went to war. Mm-hmm. You know, there was spiritual warfare out there. Sure. They were enjoying their walk with God. It was like an adventurous journey that they were excited about. And I think part of what's happening in at least Christendom today is that this need to be entertained in church, as well as in our homes, video games, etc. It's consuming us as a society.
Is it also, Father, because we've lost the essence of who we are? What is our purpose in life? And I'm not talking about the purpose-driven life, as one of the evangelicals wrote a book about, which was a very good book. But is it that we've lost what our essence is, what our purpose is on earth, what is our direction, and we're just shooting in 90,000 different directions, hoping we'll find fulfillment somewhere?
Yeah, absolutely. And I might upset a lot of people with this statement, but about a year ago, I posted on my Twitter account that the church is losing young people to the family today. And I got a lot of pushback. You know, people responded, they said, "Don't you mean we're losing them to the world?" And I said, no. I said what I meant. And kind of after a bit of dialogue, people came to understand exactly what I meant by that, which is that, you know, family, we oftentimes, those who are raised in a Christian family, they're told by their parents, you know, God is number one. He's the most important thing in your life. But there's doublespeak because on the other side, they're not reinforcing it with their own lives and oftentimes even with their own words. So I think this boredom that we see in the young people, part of it is a trickle down also from what they're seeing at homes.
Oh, certainly it is. Certainly it is, yeah. Well, we have them in parishes, if I count maybe 20 hours per year, that we can influence them through church attendance and through the Sunday school or the church school programs, plus the youth programs, maybe 30 hours we have them per year, where they spend over 70 hours a week connected to the electronic media. And, yep. You know, if the church, and that's really why we do what we do here at OCN, in all platforms of media, whether it be the online, whether it be the listen, reading, watching, learning, anywhere where the senses can be touched so that we can go into the soul of the person and fill them and take that boredom away from them and fill them with holiness and goodness. And it's a challenge, as I'm sure you know.
Absolutely.
From your perspective, Father, give us some solutions. I mean, how can each of us begin to really look at the role of boredom, what it's playing in our lives, and maybe how do we turn it around to something that's exciting, that's purposeful, and not just the spectacular entertainment, but something that has essence to it?
Yeah, no, I think that the starting place is rethinking how we view our relationship with God. So oftentimes our relationships with God, and I think you hit it on the head earlier when you said it's how we view ourselves. And I think part of the challenge on who we are and what our purpose is can only really be fulfilled by having the image of God renewed in us. And so it's how we view that relationship with him, I think, is very key. Even the language that we use at home and church and in our, you know, oftentimes we've grown up with this language of, I have to go to church. Well, no, that's not a have to, that's a get to. We don't have to read the Bible, we get to. We don't have to read the stories of the saints and spend time in communion with God. That's something that we get to. So I think even within our own minds restoring the joy that comes from communion with God, I think is key. That, and I would say that the other couple things that are really kind of following up to that is that we've got to be willing to disconnect and redirect, if you will, with God. So I think oftentimes what we do is we're so connected to all the stuff around us, our smartphones, our electronic gadgets, just the world around us, that I think what's lacking today is a willingness to disconnect and redirect. One of the places it starts is just the whole idea of fasting. It's funny because in this saturated world that we live in today, the idea of fasting in the West is all but gone. And we look back to the first century, the Didache prescribes that we fast Wednesdays and Fridays. That doesn't exist today. I mean, obviously in pockets, but this willingness to first rethink how we view God, our relationship with him, being willing to disconnect and redirect to him. And I think the third thing that comes out of that is exploring how we're able to give of ourselves to God and to others. It's really difficult to be bored when I'm active. But activity that's not founded and grounded in a relationship with God can ultimately lead to more boredom. So I think when it spills over from and spills out of that foundation of a relationship to our Creator, to Christ, I think it's very difficult to really kind of look around and say, man, I've got nothing going on in life. There's no purpose in my life. There's no value in my life. And I think those three things are really key in at least taking steps in the right direction.
So I could close by saying YOLO, you only live once, but let's do it connected to God, as you said in the beginning, Father.
You got it.
Thanks very much, Father Michael.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Father Michael Soriel of the St. Annianus Coptic Orthodox Church in Princeton, New Jersey, has been Father Chris's first guest today. He wrote a sermon entitled Boredom as a Hindrance to Spiritual Growth, and we will have a link to that on our website at myocn.net. I liked what he said toward the end of his comments. It's really difficult to be bored when I'm active, but activity that is not grounded in a relationship with God can ultimately lead only to more boredom. While there are always new things happening on our website, we're never bored here at OCN. New posts on our blog site, The Sounding, new music on our internet radio stations, The Ark and The Rudder, and new video and audio resources in the form of teaching tools and podcasts. Someone has said that change is the way the future enters our lives. Well, those things which aren't unchangeable are always being tampered with here at OCN. And Father Chris wanted to introduce you to one of those new things on the list as we wrap up today's broadcast.
Father Jason Roll is with me today to talk about his new podcast, which aired its pilot episode earlier this Monday. Father Jason is the director of Department of Youth and Young Adult Ministries for the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese of America. His new show is called Orthodox Life with Father Jason. Hi, Father. How are you?
Good, Father. How are you?
Very good. We are very excited about this new show that you're doing. Let's start by having you tell us, and especially tell our listeners, a little bit about it.
Well, I using the acronym OL with FJ, for those of us in from the camp world or growing up in summer camps, a lot of camps across the nation call their casual catechetical discussions with their priest OL, or Orthodox Life. Mm-hmm. But I think once you describe that arena to most, they know it's a safe learning environment, a place to talk to a priest about certain topics, whether they're contemporary moral issues or just, you know, casual questions about Orthodoxy, liturgy, things like that they may not understand or have one-on-one time with a priest to discuss. So it's simply that. And in, of course, FJ being my initials, but OL is definitely an acronym people know and have gotten to know throughout the years, sort of attending summer camp or GOIA lessons and things like that.
So OL with FJ.
Yes.
I got it. Okay. Let's take a quick listen to a clip from it.
So the question in this discussion is, what is Orthodox life? Well, you know, that question alone is quite vague, and I have to admit, there is no one answer to it. In fact, I would say it has many answers. But for now, I have one thought to offer you in an attempt to help you foundationally begin to approach this difficult and ongoing question. In our lives, we are challenged all the time to figure out who we are. You know, who am I? What do I want to become? Who do I look up to? You know, what do I want to be when I grow up? Is this where I'm supposed to be at my life right now? You know, what's the next step for me? Am I majoring in the right subject in college? Well, speaking personally, I never thought I would be a priest. I have to admit it. You know, in my teenage years and most of my college years, I never in a million years would have imagined I'd be sitting where I am today doing what I do. And I'm not joking. I mean, not whatsoever. I love doing youth work and I enjoyed serving my church, but I never felt like I was worthy to be a priest, let alone someone to attend the seminary. I always felt that in order to do that, I felt I would have to become someone I didn't feel I could live up to be. So right about the time I was graduating college and, you know, I was hitting about the age of 23, it started to hit me, you know, right in the chest, right in the heart. You know, I thought to myself, you know, maybe I should go to seminary. You know, but immediately I thought, you know, no way. I just could never be that guy. I'd have to change. I'd have to be like all the priests I was blessed to know and work with. And, you know, I just never felt like I could be as good as any of them. But I couldn't shake that feeling, you know, or moreover, that peace I had in my heart. You know, after many years of contemplating, I just kept ignoring that feeling and really, really trying to continue down a path of being someone else. I eventually finished college with a degree that I liked, but it didn't make me come alive. Then one day, after about 11 years of fighting off this urge or this peace that wanted to like jump out of my chest, a priest asked me once at a summer camp, you know, why I never followed through with this call of wanting to serve our church on a full-time basis. I answered him, look, I just don't want to become someone I'm not. And I'll never forget this. He simply said to me, he just turned and looked at me with this funny look on his face. And he said, you know, well, who do you think that Christ wants you to become? Well, after staring at him with this doofy look on my face, he continued on by saying, look, don't try to become anyone else. Christ is calling you to be you. He doesn't want you to be Father Fred or youth worker Joe. He wants Jason to be Jason. Wow. I thought, you know, I'd never heard that before. I can be me and not somebody else. And I can't believe after 11 years of contemplating, I'd never thought of that. Now, that being said, you know, one way to answer what is Orthodox life is that Christ just wants you to be you.
Father Jason, why is it important to discuss those larger questions like this with our young people, rather than just offering them the church's position on a specific topic?
Simple answer is, you know, young adults, youth, they don't want to be talked at all the time. They want to be able to interact and talk about things that aren't watered down. You know, they have serious questions. They understand that the church stands on, you know, certain issues, but they want to know why. They want to ask their questions and be able to discuss it. So, you know, they can have an objective view and understanding as to why the church has a stance on a particular topic.
And dealing with the issue of interact, I mean, one of the things you encourage on your show is listener feedback in the form of emails, social media comments. What are some of the questions and comments you regularly hear from young people, and do you think they'll get the same type of responses from your online audience?
I think obviously the disadvantage of doing it in this form instead of sitting in a circle at a summer camp or at a GOIA evening, unfortunately, I have to react to emails I've received to answer some of these questions. But the great advantage is you can email and send them to me anytime, and I'll address them out loud so you can at least access the answers and the delivery at any time. But some of the questions and comments I do hear often are, you know, how do we feel about tattoos? You know, the hot topic of dating, homosexuality, masturbation, anything. You can't even imagine the depth of these questions that young adults have that they really need to have answered. And I'm just so appreciative that they feel they can ask us, because if they're not asking us, who are they asking? But those are the questions I hear often.
And what about if a person wants to send you, one of the listeners of the program wants to send you a question, where do they send it? What's your email address they can send it to?
They can either click on OCN's website where the OL with FJ tab is and submit it there, or they can actually email OLWFJ at myocn.net.
Okay. And in your mind, Father, you're doing this. You've been doing this for a while. You obviously have this position for a reason. You have this gift of youth ministry. So take your hat now, open it, take it off, and talk to us about what are young people hungering for today from the church.
I'm humbled by your kind words. Thank you. But there's one thing that's been very consistent in all my years of youth and young adult ministry, and one thing that's even more apparent now, and they're all interrelated to the fact that young people are hungering today they just want it real. They want it real. They want it tangible. They want it. They want their information not watered down. They want to be able to discuss open and honest without being judged. Mm-hmm. And I think it's that simple. I don't think that was much different in my day when I was a young adult, but I definitely trusted more what was being delivered to me. But nowadays, there is a trust and respect, but they want to be able to have that dialogue. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to hear it and hear why and talk and discuss openly and not feel like they're being judged for it, or just, you know, do as I say, not as I do. They definitely want it real. They want it clear, concise, honest.
So if you were to look at it from your experience, I mean, how are we serving this young group of people well, and where do we need some improvement, do you think?
There's a reason why summer camp ministry is constantly growing in every metropolis, on the national level. Any sort of retreat or getaway in such a context is growing. And I think that's what we're doing our best. We're creating, you know, summer camps and things where, you know, you're disconnected from the you know, quote unquote real world, and able to be in a safe learning environment where you're praying together. You know, you're bonding with cabins and friends, and other counselors are doing young adult ministry and volunteering their time. And it's truly an environment where you're living orthodoxy, and they're able to feel what it's like to live like that or live their faith. I think our church is doing a fantastic job cultivating that organic growth. You know, that camp is continuing to grow, and sessions are being added to summer camps, and, you know, numbers are, it's getting to be a problem in a great way. Where I think there's room for improvement is bridging that gap for when they go home. You know, when they go home, they've had this wonderful experience and a newfound understanding of their faith, or maybe they've had an aha moment and they like to get involved, or, you know, and even the young adults who are counselors, when they get home, they feel like they really want to get engulfed in their church. And there's this disconnect of passing the baton. And a lot of brother priests and friends have asked me how we can help that process. And we're working on that now, but I would say that's our biggest room for improvement.
Okay. And finally, tell us about some of the topics you'll be dealing with in the next few episodes.
You know, am I spiritual or religious? A lot of people like to have that discussion. I was going to talk a bit about on saying I'm sorry, you know, an overall discussion about forgiveness, loving your neighbor and your enemies, you know, kind of a play off a, you know, be the bee, not the fly kind of discussion. Mm-hmm. And one that comes up often, probably more than you can imagine, is, you know, on who you are. You know, stop pretending and be real. And I was going to, you know, talk about basically burning your cool card, you know, instead of dropping it, actually just getting rid of it. You know, teaching you to find the scripture and religion about why you should just always be you and be real and going forward.
Great. Father Jason, thanks again. Everyone, please go to the website, myocn.net, and go to OL with FJ for some tremendous conversation. And remember, please, to send in your questions. You can do that by clicking on the logo that's on the website. to send your questions to Father Jason, who again is the Director of Department of Youth and Young Adult Ministries for the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese of America. Thank you, Father Jason.
Thank you, Father Chris.
And thank you in the listening audience for spending your precious time with us on this edition of Come Receive the Light. If you're a brand new listener, we're here each week and we've been doing this for more than 15 years. So there are a lot of programs in our archives that you may want to review again, including this particular broadcast. Any of those can be accessed when you go to our website at myocn.net. Spend a little time each day on the website. Special thanks, as always, to our executive producer and anchor. I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. Do let your friends know about the broadcast, and remember to always have faith in what you listen to.